Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Our presenter this morning, Colin Skelton. So I'm going to make a little intro about Colin. As an applied theatre and design thinking facilitator, Colin helped teams and organisations activate conversations, interactions, data, ideas and innovation concepts through physicality, storytelling, play and other creative mechanisms. He applies principles and practices from the theatre and the creative arts to explore human-centric approaches to team innovation, online engagement and empathic innovation. He believes the possibilities to engage in creative and embodied ways that spill outside the confines of our screens are both endless and essential. And he also believes that combining physical and digital modes of engagement could greatly enhance the growth of desired online culture, psychological safety, and creativity. So Colin is going to bring to us this morning a session called Stretching Your Mind's Gap. The unfolding narratives in any personal leadership journey are in large shaped by our responses to stimuli. And what if it were possible to momentarily stretch the time gap between stimulus and response, between what happens to you and the way you respond to that? So if you enter this elastic space, this behavior gap, as Colin calls it, might you be able to observe stimulus and design your response, your story, in a much more intentional way? So through this experience of slow time, this morning we will interact with our immediate surroundings with the aid of Japanese Buto dance, or Buto performance art, as co-creators of our unfolding narratives. This is going to be a 15-minute introspective session where you're going to receive tools to expand the most critical decision-making space in your leadership journey. Very much looking forward to this, and over to you, Colin.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, there you are. I was just hanging out in the gap a bit. Welcome. Thank you for joining me here today. In 1959, a performance took place in Japan that absolutely upset the traditional mainstream Japanese circuit route, theater circuit route. On stage, three performers ended up suffocating a chicken, and their movements were completely anti-form. They were rejected and reviled by the traditional Japanese aesthetics of the day. And in this performance, Buto was formed. Now, Buto typically aesthetically has very slow movements. That's one of the popular aesthetics of Buto. And very anti-form, they would call it. And their movements were kind of grotesque and beautiful at the same time. They speak about it being the voice, the hidden voices that lie beneath the skin emerging. And this kind of aesthetic was rejected by mainstream Japanese theater. And Buto itself was both a rejection of Western materialism and the ideologies of consumption and materialism that emerged and was imposed on Japan post the Second World War. It was also a physical form of expression that reflected the devastation and the depression that many artists felt around their time in the world, in Japan. Buto was also a rebellion against the traditional forms of Japanese theater, against the prescribed traditional the forms that were accepted generally by society, and any variance of that was generally seen as a no-no. And these ideologies of Buto really inspired me to think about a new form of leadership, an anti-form of leadership, as it were. And the anti-leadership model is asking for a new form of leadership in the world, a form that evolves from a individualistic, self-centered way of being, a self-centered a set of patterns and behaviors, and also rebellion against the traditional forms of leadership, against the automatic behavior, rigid tendencies, and the well-worn neurological pathways that cause reactive behavior and leadership. And what it calls for is a revolutionary notion that rejects what we understand about leadership and rebels against apathy and a lack of consideration for our connectivity with people and the environment around us. So the new leadership model calls for vulnerability, and it's counterintuitive. It goes against the grain of what we feel is normal, what we know is normal, what's expected of us perhaps, and calls for something higher, something with more empathy for yourself and for those around us. It asks for us to listen with our heart and to put our heart above our heads in decision making and in our interactions with people and the world and the environment. Your leadership journey is about choice. The choices you invite, create, and discover about how you respond to what happens to you in your life and how you respond to what you need to get done. In a sense, this anti-leadership model is a rejection of Descartes' I think, therefore I am. Descartes did not understand the science of the body yet. We can chat a little bit more about that in a moment. First, I want to tell you a quick little story about my mother. Now, I actually did speak to my mother about this, and I asked her for permission to tell the story. This is one of my leadership stories. My mother's been living with me for the last 5 years. She has chronic emphysema and is on oxygen full time. And so consequently, I have the responsibility of taking care of her. And while she can walk to the bathroom, which is close to her room, there's not much more she can do. And she sits on her bed and despite her really positive attitude, it's really challenging for her, of course. And it's very challenging for the people around who look after her. This is something that I really do struggle with and often have to dig deep to find the correct posture and a sense of patience and tolerance with myself and compassion for myself. And my mother is quite quirky. And recently she's developed this little quirk that when I walk in the room and I ask her, "So Mom, how are you doing?" She will go, "Hmm?" Or if I say, "Mom, can I get you anything? Would you like something to drink?" She will say, "Pardon?" Even though she has heard me the first time. And for some reason, this quirk just pushes my buttons. It really gets me, it causes me to react so quickly and I feel my whole body tensing. "So Mom, how are you doing?" "Hmm?" And I have to take a deep breath, and before I know it, that reaction's happened. I'm feeling tense in my body. I feel terrible about how I feel in that moment. And I can see my mom noticing my reaction. And she obviously starts feeling anxious about that as well. It's a really destructive behavior pattern. And fortunately, I have the opportunity to revisit this and to work on this, use this moment to help me arrest that reactive behavior and to take a breath and center in the moment and work at finding an alternative response to that quirk. I don't expect my mother to change. She has a right to be as she is. I don't have control over the external environment. I don't have control over how she is to me. Only thing I can have control over is the way that I respond and the way that I choose to respond in that moment to my mom. Okay, I would like to introduce to you this anti-leadership model. Now, the anti-leadership model is a theater of leadership, as I call it. And as many of you are aware of and probably have already been inspired many times in your life, a quote that is attributed to Viktor Frankl. I'll give you a moment just to read that. "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." So this is an anti-leadership model, a theater of leadership. It shows two different paths. One is a reactive path and the other is a responsive path. We receive a stimulus from the outside world of which we have no control over. And a reactive path, especially with stressful stimuli, we receive the stimulus of our sensory neurons, send a message to our central nervous system, and immediately that sends a message to our motor neurons and we react. So if something's very stressful, or if we have reactive tendencies for different kinds of stimulus, We see the stimulus from the outside world and we go into reactive mode. And it's an associated physical aesthetic. We manifest those reactions and our responses through our bodies, through our senses. It's a performed activity. I feel like I'm actually in a weather channel here. On the one side, we have some clouds of stimulus, heavy stimulus coming through. We're looking, it looks like we might be having some opening, some heavy rain, some reactivity. I'll work on that. The other path is a path of responsivity, responsiveness. On the one hand, we react to stimulus and straight away we've performed our reaction in the world through our physicality. And then it's gone. Another path is to step into a gap. There's a gap between stimulus and reactivity. And this session invites you to step into that gap. Take a deep breath. Drop into that gap and start stretching the space between impulse, between stimulus and response. This is almost like an elastic gap. In the reactive mode, stimulus happens and the reaction happens very quickly. There's a little gap there. And the anti-leadership model calls for a conscious stretching of this gap, this leadership gap, where space and choice can emerge. Choice to move away from the habitual patterns of emotional expression, the habitual patterns of responding to stimulus that in the world. And there are different ways in which we can drop into the gap. The breath being one really, really useful tool. So this is an opportunity to apply all those wonderful breathing techniques and use them to drop into yourself. It's very simple. So we can start with a deep breath. So I'd ask you just to do that for a moment and start dropping into the gap. Just stand loosely if you want, wherever you are sitting, and note the gap, the space between your in-breath and your out-breath, between your out-breath and your in-breath. Just breathe normally. Pay extra attention to those little moments, those little gaps. Take two or three breaths just to enter into that space. As we arrest that reaction by dropping into the gap, we not only arrest it, sometimes that reaction gets away with us and we can sort of take our lassos and pull it back with our elastic lasso. Pull it back. Where are you going, buddy? Not so quickly. Pull back that response, that reaction. And just be with it and sit with it. Be aware of the external context. Understand the nature of the stimulus. Hold with empathy the emotional aesthetic of the person perhaps who's providing that stimulus. When I use the word aesthetic, what I'm talking about is that which is perceived by the senses. If we're able to arrest that reactive behavior, take a deep breath, we're able to start regulating our emotions. So the slow space is also inspired, the slow movement inspired by the forms of Bhutto and the aesthetics of Bhutto performance. And the Bhutto dancers will use slow movements as if they're stretching time to come to that meeting point of mind and body and really explore at the site of their physiology where they interact with the environment around them. And for Bhutto dancers, they will use imagery and metaphors as external stimulus, and they will allow their bodies in those minute moments, moment to moment, to respond with the physical aesthetic. That's not driven by any agenda, but driven by a deep listening from the heart. And so, as we regulate our emotions, we can arrest this reactive activity, And in the slow space, moving really slowly and mindfully, we can start becoming softer around the edges. And in that softness comes pliability. And in that pliability, we become more receptive. We start gaining more capacity for empathic behavior. And we start to building new neurological pathways. This is a tree that starts emerging. Instead of following well-worn routes and reactive patterns of neuron pathways, we start creating new neurological pathways. We start filling our palette of responsive choice with all these different options. Remember I said that we our reactions and our responses is embodied activity. It is a performance. We perform our reactions and we perform our responses in the world through our bodies, through our senses. And in this slow space, we have embodied choice. We have the option of using our bodies, our physicalities in a conscious way, moving really slowly. And we'll play with a little bit of this now in a moment. So this elastic gap, this is a leadership gap, anti-leadership gap. This calls for a conscious intention exploration in this gap, the space between reaction and response. Just a quick, just to look a little bit at some of the sort of science around this process, reaction versus responsivity. So the new form of leadership it's responsive instead of reactive. It begins by stretching the gap between the heart and the mind. A reaction is instant. It's driven by the beliefs, biases, and prejudices of the unconscious mind. Reaction is based in the moment, and it doesn't take into consideration the long-term effects of what you say or do. Often a reaction is survival oriented and a defense mechanism. And it might turn out okay, but often reactions are things that we regret later. So I'm not talking about the kinds of reactions that serve us. So if you have a rabid dog running up to you, of course, I'm not asking you to stop and enter into the gap in the slow space and consider your response. Your reaction's there to serve you, run. I'm talking about the reactions that do not serve us in our leadership journey. Those reactions that take us off balance and cause us to perform and respond in the world in ways that do not result in the positive influences and in the meeting people in an empathic and a way. Reactions happen very quickly. So if you imagine these are the neurons in the synapse. Let me show you how quickly they happen. I'll try that again, maybe a bit faster, eh? Just playing a bit. So in a reactive situation, the brain with certain stimulus, stressful stimulus, uses a pre-wired network. It just follows that default path. A stressful situation causes our bodies to react before we're even logically aware. So our nervous system is already responding in a reactive situation, and we have no choice in the matter. We respond in the world, we perform our reaction before we even have an option to choose it. Our pace of our blood flow increases, triggers hormones in the brain, it just completely goes wild. We have an emotional overwhelm. We react automatically. So it happens very quickly. The question to ask yourself is, are you satisfied with the result of your reactive performances? Are you happy with the way it makes you feel? Are you happy with the result and the way it makes other people feel? This is the leadership choice that you have. In a reactive situation, senses are triggered. We have a rush of emotions. Unconscious mind takes over, right? Our logic is overridden by emotional overwhelm, and we override the CEO of the brain, the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is at mercy of the lower limbic sensory region. So the anti-leadership model is asking, can you rely on your cortex? Can you rely on your lizard brain? Is there an opportunity to arrest that reaction before it manifests as a performance that is undesirable? Okay. A responsive performances, on the other hand, are different to reactivity. A response is slow. Often it's based on information from both the conscious and unconscious mind. Okay. And a response is ecological. In other words, it takes into consideration the well-being of not only yourself, but the well-being of people around you, the people that you're interacting and performing with. So how do we move to a more responsive way of being? How do we start building new neurological pathways that reject the old ways of just simply habitually reacting? Well, we have to notice the physiological tendency, feeling your body at the site of impulse. Okay. What is the aesthetic of reaction? What is the kind of emotional aesthetic of reaction? Compare that to the emotional aesthetic of response. And can we project into the future and try to co-create with our mind and our body a response that is both desirable and appropriate, and furthers our agenda of the betterment of ourselves and the people around us and the environment. In this leadership gap, the responsive model calls for you to be able to moderate and regulate your emotional impulses. Okay. By regulating that gap, we create additional capacity to move from reactivity to response ability. This leadership model is asking for creative choice as opposed to reactive behavior. Okay. So what I'd like to do now is some embodiment, some movements, move into the slow space and play a little bit with this. So I just want to start with the breath again. Just take a nice deep breath, two or three breaths, and drop into that gap. I'm going to ask you to hold your fist in front of you and now just really tense that fist. Start tensing your fist as much as you can. Just tense it. And start noticing, where does that tension start in your fist? And how does it spread and move through the whole body? Notice the tension in your face. Are you tensing your other hand? Is there tension in the rest of your body? Just notice that. And just hold that and tense that. And then just relax and open your fist like that. Full flat hand, and then close the fist again. Okay, fantastic. So now I'm going to ask you to do exactly the same thing, but I want you to take 2 minutes for that movement. So you're going to just tense your fist, and when I say relax, you're going to relax and as slow as you can, really, really slowly. You're going to stretch time. Just allow your hand to open really slowly, all the way until it's open. Okay, so sorry, if you've started already, I apologize. Let's try that all together. Okay. So just tense your fist, hold it tense, tense, tense. Okay, 2 minutes. Relax. Just notice. Just be attentive and aware just notice anything that comes to your attention. Great. What did you notice? What did you notice about your breath? What did you notice about those micro movements from one position to the next? Anything you notice, perhaps chuck it in the chat. Okay. Now I'd like you to try the same thing, but remember that this tension spreads to the rest of the body. So do the same thing with your fist and then allow your whole body to emulate and exaggerate that stiffness and tension in your whole body. Just how does that feel? Your whole body. This is the reactive performance. This is the embodiment of the reactivity that doesn't serve us. How does that feel? And now say relax and just allow your whole body to soften. Just allow it to soften, relax, become calm, and move really slow. See where that takes you. Remember to keep your breath regulated. Check in with your breath. Allow your breath to be the background tempo, a rhythm. Where does your body want to take you? What is the response to that tight aesthetic reactivity? Enjoy that movement, the slow movement. And the slow movement is counterintuitive, as is the anti-leadership model. Calls for a new way, forming new paths and new habits. It takes work. And to keep your breath regulated, deep, easy, relaxed breath. Deep breath. Slow space. Okay. Yin Yin is feeling desire for more time to unfold the fist. Yes, more time. There's something very deep and engaging around the slow time. My conscious gets prompts where the stiffness lies. Interesting. Okay, so we're going to try extend this a little bit more. Play with the aesthetic of reaction and response. And in this, I'd like you to have a look around. These different emotional aesthetics. And find one that, as much as possible, reflects and represents a reactive behavior that you recently performed. And it can be any one of these, actually. Somehow reflects a reactive behavior or a reactive pattern or a way that you reacted recently that you regret and wish you had responded differently. So just find one of those images and name it, give it an emotional context, and then just emulate it. No, just stand and try and emulate that in the face. And now try and see how that physical expression manifests and extends into the rest of the body. Play with that. Find a position that that feels resonates and feels aligned. Great. And then from there, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Move from that position, the reactive mode, and move slowly with your body and start searching for a physical gesture that reflects and represents a more desirable response so that your internal posture, your aesthetics, your senses can represent a response that you want to perform into the world that you feel is more appropriate. Just play with that. So I'll give you 2 minutes for that. Just keep following your breath. Notice your breath. Notice where the tension starts releasing and relaxing. Be aware of the conscious choices you're making and moving. Just move slowly. You don't have to get anywhere. Just play with this opportunity to internalize your movements. Finding an internal posture that reflects and represents a desirable response. Using your breath to keep dropping into that gap, stretching that gap, the time space between reaction and response. Keep your eyes open if you can. Use the slow movements to allow your whole body to soften, but to stay alert and aware and attentive. Okay, slowly come to a standstill and find a gesture. Just hold it for a moment. Does this gesture hold the potential for a more empowered, more empathic, more thoughtful response and performance into the world? We don't have control over the stimulus. We have control over how we respond to a stimulus. Okay. Great. Thank you. I would like to share with you a really important part of this. And this is perhaps, in terms of this journey of opening the gap between reaction and response, the opportunity for you is to just take a deep breath immediately. Wherever you are, plant your feet firmly on the ground, feel your butt on your seat. Take a deep breath in and drop into the gap. Really keeping your movements really, really slow. Try to emulate in your body the sensation of that impulse, the stimulus, sorry. Just find a way to emulate that stimulus. What was the emotional aesthetic of that stimulus? Use your face, use your hands, your fist, your whole body. And really slowly, I'll give you another 2 minutes. Just move really slowly from this position. Note the aesthetic, the emotional aesthetic. Note how that makes you feel, the constriction, the tightness. What does that do for your breath? What kinds of stimulus in the external world, what kind of pressures would that stimulus represent? How do you feel? What is your reactive tendency? How does your physiology want to perform a reaction in the world? Arrest that reaction and just slowly start melting and finding variations, different choices in which your body can move in and around that stimulus. Just moving really slowly towards posture that reflects, a gesture that reflects the type of response, the type of performance, responsive performance that you want to share and express and publish in the world. Slow movements, they just extend to your feet, whole body. In doing this, creating new neurological pathways, forming more responsive habits. Enjoy the sensation of slow movements. Let's explore options and possibilities for a more empowered response. Sometimes opening your eyes, sometimes closing them. Closing your eyes is a great way to just dip into the gap as well. Your movements can be even slower. Make a choice about what kind of physiological aesthetic, of emotional aesthetic you'd like your performance, the leisure performance in the world to hold. okay, just take a nice deep breath, a few deep breaths just to land in this grounded place again. Keep your movements slow, keep them attentive, soft around the edges. Okay, fantastic. So I'm happy to chat a little bit if anyone wants to talk more about this work. I just would like to say a few more things about this ANTI leadership model. In this slow space, is anything is possible. This is where you have choice to use your body as a proactive tool in the way that you develop your empathic skills, your listening skills, your centering skills, using mindfulness and awareness as the anti-leadership model. Mindfulness is the anti-leadership model. Through mindfulness and awareness, we're able to meet the stimulus and arrest that reactive tendency. And through mindfulness and awareness, we're able to navigate and use our bodies co-creatively in this slow space and create new options for the way we want to feel, the way we want to the emotional aesthetic, the way we want to be in the world. And the responses and in turn, the type of stimulus that our response becomes in the world, how it affects other people, and how it makes us feel going forward. So in this space, the whole domain of practice, and we've just touched on some of the ways in which we're using gesture and slow movement. And you might have many other ideas and other ways of working modalities to throw into the space. I think that the opportunity here is to slow down and allow ourselves to have a bit more time in the world before we become reactive and get caught up in these habitual ways of behaving, and to move towards a new way of being that is both taking care of ourselves and has deep empathic, compassionate consideration for people around us and beyond. Okay. Another really, if there aren't any questions at the moment, we could play with a few more exercises. So this is another simple one that you can do at any point. Just move your head to the one side and then move it to the other side. And take 2 minutes. Do that really slowly. Just try that. Take a deep breath, drop into the gap. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Colin. I'm still under the impression of doing the exercises myself. And I have to say that this slowing down actually made me aware of the amount of the tension. Yeah.
Does it feel pleasurable to move in a slow, mindful way?
Yeah. Very.
That's also important, to enjoy the way we are in the world, as opposed to feeling that constricted, reactive aesthetic.
Yeah. And it makes me think in that moment, how many times we react, we're not really aware of the amount of the tension until we slow down our movements, and then we become aware of, wow, how much emotions and tensions and reactivity was there in the first place. It's beautiful.
There's something intentional about the slow movement. If we move quickly, we aren't able to bypass that reactive tendency. By slowing down, we're able to really catch it at the site of stimulus, and then shift and change it and start creating new pathways.
Beautiful.
We define ourselves and our identity not by how we are in the gap, but how we respond, how we react, how we perform. And what happens in the gap is a place of creative capacity. And we're able to be compassionate and empathic with ourselves in that space while we're reformulating consciously new performances in the world.
Beautiful. And I just wanted to add, and then I'm seeing there's a comment from one of our attendees. This was super experiential. And indeed, it was super experiential throughout the entire session. So thank you for that, Colin. And I'm going to ask you one final question. We've got 2 more minutes to go. What is your top tip on staying embodied? What would you give as a suggestion to everyone who's here this morning?
Well, I think obviously there's always an opportunity to move slowly. So at any point in your day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I understand that in applied contexts, you can't always move slowly the whole time. But any moment is an opportunity just to slow down and use your breath, check in, drop into the gap, and just check in with how you're feeling. And is that how you want to feel in this moment? And if not, make an intention to also your physiology and manipulate it in a gentle way using slow movement, and imagine how you want to feel in your body. Shift it. Start working, take control over those emotions and allow them to be a collaborator as opposed to something that overrules you.
Yeah. Wow. What a great journey from reactivity to being intentional.
That's exactly what it's about.
Thank you, Colin. So for everyone else who's here, you can find in a chat box all the related links where you can find Colin and his work. And you can also join us in the Facebook group where you can continue the discussion. I do remind you that you have this session free for 48 hours, after which you can purchase it. You can go to our conference website and purchase all other sessions if you like, so that you can digest them in your own library whenever you wish. It would be a sort of a thank you to all of us, and it would enable everyone else to watch it for free. Do check the options while the conference is still on for the discounted prices. Thank you very much once again, Colin, for this beautiful session. And I invite everyone else to stay on our channel. The next session is going to be The Need and Gift of Living and Leading from a Place of Conscious Connection by Pamela Ann Burkhalter. Colin, thank you again.
Thank you, Shana. Thanks. Bye-bye.